I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
My name is Hannah Forden. I'm the membership coordinator at Heritage Radio Network, but even before I joined the team, I loved listening to HRN during my subway commute. It made the time go quickly and left me feeling inspired for the day ahead. HRN listeners tune in from all over the world, but there are a few traits that we all have in common, no matter where we listen from: a curious palate, the fierceness to make a difference, and a hunger for lifelong learning about the culinary world. As you know, Heritage Radio Network is a listener-supported nonprofit. To deliver the most ambitious, entertaining, and of-the-moment stories in 2018, we need your help. We need to raise $150,000 by December 31st to accomplish these goals and to keep your favorite shows on the air. Together, we can make this HRN's most exciting, impactful, and delicious year yet. Become a member by donating today. Join us at heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and you'll immediately start enjoying benefits such as VIP invitations to HRN events, where you will mix and mingle with your favorite hosts. Memberships also make a perfect holiday gift for all the foodies in your life. This year, why not give the gift of food radio? You'll hear your generosity in action for the year to come. Help keep our lights on and our mics hot by pledging your support today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. And I am here today with Ms. Denise Herman of Empire of the Dog. Denise, how are you today?
Doing well. Cold.
I know, right? This sucks. It's like, winter is here.
Really, you can't feel through the radio, but it's cold outside.
Yeah, it is. It's winter in New York. It's official. It started. It's cold. I'm not looking forward to this at all.
No. The dogs don't love it either. They all have their rubber booties on, trudging through the snow with their hats and their slickers on. Dogs weren't meant to wear clothes, but it's an unfortunate reality.
It really is. And I mean, it's funny because, like, we were supposed to get a huge snowstorm it was supposed to start midnight on Friday, and it actually started on Saturday. And so some people had salted, and one guy had used the good eco stuff for animals that doesn't burn through their feet. But I was looking through it, all the city was like in this white flecks of salt waiting for the snow to come. And it's like, I really thought about it. It was like, booties are really kind of important, or rinsing their feet off once they get home.
The salt can burn them, apparently. I've never had this problem specifically with my with my dog, but it can burn them. And then the echo stuff, I guess, that's good for their paws, doesn't actually dissolve. I'm not sure how it works, apparently it's those little white granules, and you just track them everywhere.
Ugh. Yeah, they come in the house.
So if it's not one thing, it's your mother.
No, you're right.
I mean, it's something. Always. So
I wanted to talk to you about some of the cool dog technology that's out there these days. We were actually just at Empire the Dog, and Denise has got some, like, they're amazing. It's like these training
gadgets.
What are they?
I'm full of gadgets. I mean, can I plug it in? Does it have a remote control? What can I do? I'm like, let's get this thing.
Ooh, Bluetooth.
It's been an interesting progression over the 20 years now, I guess, that I've been training almost from, the really simple days of, you have a Kong toy, like the Oliver Twist. You have a Kong toy. That's all you have. Here's your Kong toy. Wait, you want another Kong toy? Here's a smaller Kong toy. And that was it. And thank God we had those. You know, and that graduated up to things that rolled, things that wobbled, things that had compartments, and lots of other interactive dog toys. And this new crop of toys still, you know, is considered, I would say, interactive, but they're high techy. I mean, super techy. You know, back from the days of, I was showing you like the old yellow, you know, box Macintosh version of the techie dog toy from like 20 years ago that you needed a remote control and it had a few settings and it spit treats out. And they were great. And then, you know, just in the past couple of years, everything's gotten even more really, really high tech. So we looked at today a toy called the Clever Pet, or just Clever Pet.
Which is, I could watch a dog with this thing for days. I mean, it was fascinating.
Yeah, it is kind of like the Tesla of dog toys at this point. You know, and I just started playing around with it the other, a couple weeks ago, and had some dogs at the studio who could play with it and use it. And it is, basically, to describe it to everybody, it has it's a main piece that they call the hub. It connects to Wi-Fi. It gives you statistics on what the dog is doing with the toy. It's almost like a, remember that old kids game, Simon? It's a little like that, because it has lights that light up, and the dog touches them or learns to touch them, you know, over the course of a little bit of time, and then food spits out.
Yep.
And what's great about it, I mean, the thing that, there's two things that are the most great about it, I think, in my opinion. One is that the combinations of difficulty levels that it can keep cranking up to when your dog gets savvy at one level are limitless seeming. So basically, your dog can keep getting smarter and smarter, but he's never, as long as he wants what's in there, he's never going to tap out as far as being like, this game is stupid now, or you're going to get diminishing returns. And the second part is that second thing that I think that's really valuable about it, outside of, you know, the same value that all interactive toys have, which is great, it keeps the dog busy, it's something to do. Is that basically you don't have to know what you're doing outside of setting it up.
Yeah.
The toy has built into it all, basically everything you need to desensitize them to the idea of the toy so that they're not freaking out and running away. When that gets on board and the dog's comfortable with the toy and taking the treats from it, then it starts to show them what you need to do to get the treats to come out. It's not just giving them. And then the levels start to kick in where you have to touch the one thing, the one that lights up, not the other ones. Or any of those. You start with, you know, all of them lighting up. There's three pads on it that light up, basically. And the dog hits it and it goes bing. And then he gets a treat.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where he's got to touch one and not the other two, or two and not the other one. And then it goes like almost the version of wah wah.
Yeah, totally. I love that. The dog was like, ugh.
Yeah. And we did joke. I was like, great, we've got to the point where let's get a dog and stick it in front of a Nintendo.
Well, that's the one thing I'm wondering about is like, obviously. Yeah, this is not something that you're going to, you know, go to work and leave it on all day for your pets, because you're going to come home to a pet that's 800,000 pounds.
Well, no, I mean, you can set this too, just, you know, not to be like, and also it, but, you know, you can set it to go on it because it's all through an app and all through Wi-Fi. You can set it to be on at certain hours and then to turn off for certain hours. So you could set it to give your dog whatever portion of, you know, the little pod inside that you filled, give it that from like one, you know, from 10 to 1 or 9 to 10 or whatever. And you can also set it to just stop when your dog earns X amount of treats.
Oh, that's cool.
It has like an ability to sense how many treats went out, so that if you go, I just want it to give him 50 pieces, you can set it to shut down after 50 pieces are delivered.
That's wild.
As opposed to if your dog's still learning how to do it, it might be on for 2 hours and they just might not be savvy enough to get enough out. So it really can be that changeable. And the fact that it gets the dog, you know, used to it and does all of that, makes all those choices, because the owner doesn't have to be a dog trainer to figure it out.
True.
That's really the one of the most clever parts of it, is that it can do that. So, and you can't set it up too high. Like, the thing is, you can't put it down for your dog and then be like, I'm going to make it super difficult.
Right.
You can jump back manually and make it easier for your dog if you decide you want to do that for some reason. Like, I use it with multiple dogs, and so I need to constantly do that.
Yeah.
But you can't make it too hard. So you literally, it's kind of idiot proof.
It was really wild because, I mean, I was watching a dog that knows how to use this toy, and it was a trip because, like, you know, he'd sit in front of it and he'd wait. There's a sensor that comes on a light, and once that light's on, then it's like, okay, get ready. And then one light turns on of the three, and once he noticed it, he'd go over and he'd tap it, and he'd wait, and then the other one, two other ones would turn on, and I guess he had to go for the brighter one in that sequence. And he messed up a bunch of times, and so then it's like, you know, the wah-wah noise, and he would walk around it. And then kind of come back and, like, regroup and, like, let's try the scan.
Yeah, he has a little superstitious, like, do-si-do to the machine when he's like, huh. And then he just goes around in a circle and comes back and he's like, and he thinks that that somehow is relevant.
Totally.
I mean, I think it'll come out in the wash, but it's pretty cute.
But he, you know, in the 10 minutes that he played with it when I was there, I mean, he learned not to go for the dimmer light. And, I mean, this is a smart dog, so I don't want to be like, you know, every dog. But he was, it was really cool because it's not often that you get the opportunity to actually be able to leave a dog alone and just through observation, watch them think and problem solve.
Yeah. And it's set up to have pretty decent, you know, levels as far as not making it too hard, too quick and not tapping out, like I said, and being like boring.
Yeah.
Or giving everything too quickly because the dog gets to where it's smarter than the toy. That seems to
totally.
Be something that almost can't happen here.
And the thing that was cool too, and it might just be this dog, but once, like, the treat, it all of a sudden, it's like that when it gets right, it makes a noise, and then this little, like, trap door opens and it exposes, you know, one or two treats in the bowl, and then it shuts, and he was like, okay, you know, it wasn't like, give me that thing, and, like, freaking out at that spot. You know, he knew at that point that he had to go through this sequence and then would be rewarded.
Yeah, when dogs figure stuff out, and this goes for a lot of things, when they figure stuff out at a level where it's not super frustrating, then I don't think they don't like just, you know, upset the whole apple cart, so to speak.
Yeah.
There are some toys that I do worry that I'm like, if the dog knocked it over, what would happen? But even the way this one's physically set up, knocking it over would be difficult.
That'd be a lot of work. Yeah.
It's got a broad base on it.
And it's a big dome. It kind of looks like an igloo with, like, a little pad in front of it with the three things. It's cool. I mean, it's, like, super modern and, like,
it reminds me of the dome houses in Florida.
Totally. Or it's, I mean, this would fit into, like, the beautiful white home. You know what I mean?
It's not something ugly.
It's got a nice
look to it.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's cool. You know?
And then we played with the iFetch.
Totally.
Which, and I have to give a big shout out to Hugo, the wonder dog of Williamsburg, who is my test subject for all of these. Hugo's great with the the iFetch is another toy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the iFetch works for dogs who probably are already pretty ball compulsive.
Right.
They like to chase tennis balls and they would, you know, would play tennis ball chase games all day till you have, you know, repetitive strain and the dog's still like, let's go, throw the ball. And, you know, there's been so many, you know, things to try to deal with this in dogs or to, you know, make it easier for people to play ball with them. You know, they have to chuck it, which is that long, crazy loopy arm, but you still have to throw it with your arm. And, I mean, this thing is something that can be in the house. It can have different, it has different settings so that it can pitch the ball faster or like longer, I should say, if you have a longer hallway or somewhere you want to use it. There's a larger version that had, you saw the one with the little tennis balls, but there's one that has a larger tennis ball to it.
Cool.
And even that one can be charged and taken out to the park.
Oh, you serious?
If you wanted to do that.
You want to be that person.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you had a big park, we're just not used to that. I mean, taking that to like one of our parks would be, you know, I don't know what would happen, but, you know, in places, or if you had a yard. I mean, I also think maybe it's just if you want to, you know, in the suburbs and you're like, here, let the dog fetch with himself in the yard for, you know, 30 minutes or so.
And so basically what this thing is this little tiny machine that's got, it looks like a tennis ball machine, like when you're playing tennis, you know, and you're learning and they have that machine, except it only uses one ball at a time. So the dog, it picks up the ball, drops it in the top of it, which is like a funnel opening. So it's a pretty good opening. And then it goes down in the machine and then shoots out. And like this dog knew what to do. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I worked with him a little bit, and I think that the difference between this and, say, another toy, this one, there is a little bit of, you know, your leap of faith.
Yeah.
Like, let me get my dog to figure out how to do this, or following some steps and advice that the toy company gives you about how to get your dog into that cycle. So it's not as hit the ground running as some of the others where, you know, this one you have to do some training, I think, with it to get the dog to get the idea. And it's not going to necessarily make a dog who doesn't already like to play ball into a ball playing dog. But if you've got that dog, and we've got that dog sometimes where they're just like, throw the ball.
Oh my God, that was my last dog. My cat is like this, actually, you know, so I kind of am like,
oh yeah, you could use this with cats. You know, I think I could. You could use, and the other thing we didn't mention about the other one too is I think I've seen videos of the other one, even the Clever Pet, being used with like iguanas.
That's so cool.
And cats and
so cool.
different animals, which is even more interesting as anything else.
And I mean, I really like that because it's like I've got two cats, and I mean, especially this time of year, my cats are bored. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm working.
Oh, join the club.
I'm never home. You know, I'm never home. When I am home, I'm exhausted. So usually I'm asleep. But I will spend time with them when I can. But both of them, they're like, where have you been?
I mean, you know, there is just so much. The constant struggle is to give our pets more interesting, interactive mm-hmm. things to do while we as a culture are working longer and harder days, and people are getting more and more pets.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of a double whammy. We have less time and more desire to have companionship with
it's
us.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
That seems about right, though, in this time, day and age.
I just want to come home and be like, okay, dog, you and I have a cocktail now. Did you get all your reading done? Did you get your Nintendo done? Are you tapped out? Let's sit down and, you know, have our cocktail and talk about the news.
Right, watch some TV, you know, all that.
So, yeah. So, you know, there's those two. The other one that I was talking about that I am going to get, I don't have it yet, and I really do want to get it, is the pet tutor.
What's that?
Now, that one was developed really, I think, even more specifically with a broader kind of master plan of not just being an interactive toy that it teaches the dog to do kind of, you know, something to tire itself out that's mm-hmm. about figuring a puzzle out. This one, you can really set it so that you can teach things like sitting, laying down, cause and effect-based things.
Really?
It has a lot of morphology to it as far as the ability to use it to almost personalize it to do anything you want.
Wow.
Like, there's a remote tilt sensor, which I didn't understand really what that was right away, but it's something that you can put in another toy. They show it in another toy, but I think, you know, but I think the applications, you know, are only limited by, you know, creatively what you want to do.
Cool.
So the dog goes over and knocks this other toy, and then it makes the machine, it triggers the machine to spit out the treat across the room, potentially.
That's wild.
So, like, if you wanted to tire your dog out by having it go up and down the stairs all day while you weren't home, you can put it up at the top of the stair, and the dog is seducing the top of the stairs, and then run down and get the treat, and then run back up and hit it again. I feel like it's a demented supermarket sweep.
Well, that's the thing, too. And then I can see, like, you come home and the dog's, you know, repeating this behavior, like, snack time! And it's like, wait,
well, I think
what?
You can set it up again to stop, mm-hmm. you know, and you can set it up so that it only, you know, works for certain times or it only gives this much. You know, a long time ago, there was a Kong machine that used to spit out Kongs.
Oh, yeah.
And the first iteration of it didn't have a warning cue for when the Kongs were going to come out. So whenever the dog figured out that, oh, my God, Kongs come out of here, there was no way to tell when the Kong was coming.
Oh, God.
So they just sat by it all day long staring at it, kind of comatose. And then they figured it, the people designing it, as I understand, this is a little bit of a you know, mythological story, but I think it's true. They figured that out pretty much through the first or second prototype, and then, you know, put a little dinger in so the dog's like, oh, ignore it till the ding goes off.
That's
like,
really funny.
You're like checking your oven every 5 minutes. Is it done? Is it done?
Yeah, oh, my God. That's my life story. I swear to God. Even with a timer, even with all of it, I'm still there. Like, you know, one of my favorite TV channels is like sitting in front of my oven and watching things cook.
Oh my God.
I don't mean to do it. All of a sudden I'm like there and I look up, I've been there for 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
So.
And I want to say one other thing, which is that if people want to see even more techie stuff, I mean, we'll have some links in the thing about in the little blurb about the show, but one of my favorite things to do is to go on Kickstarter and in the search bar put in dog or pet. And see, like, what are people doing? And sometimes you'll see things that you're like, oh, this seems like a really involved way to fix a problem that's not really even as huge a problem as this fix.
Right.
So there's a lot of well-meaning stuff out there that I'm kind of like, I don't really get this. But I love looking through it. And sometimes there's some really cool stuff.
It's fascinating that, you know, I like the merging of the technology and the animal. And I love things that stimulate their brain and make them think. Because it's definitely got to be rewarding for them as well. You know,
they're still hunters at their core.
Totally.
And when dogs are getting in trouble at your house, it's not because they're hunting for a ham under your bed, but they're seeking.
Yeah.
You know, it's this behavior of looking for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff to play with, stuff to chew, stuff to pee on, stuff to investigate. And if there's not an obvious, here's what I want you to investigate going on there, right. then either your dog's kind of, even if they're not being naughty, well, they're just like a little bit sad all day, just like twiddling their thumbs, waiting for their mommy or daddy to come home.
Totally.
And better, you know, even still, if they're a dog who's at all prone to being at all destructive, meaning they're adolescent or whatever, mm-hmm. having them have something to do is, it's always better. It's just better to funnel your dog into that, avoid behavior problems before they start.
Yeah, makes sense.
And not have a bored, sad dog.
That's a thing, you know, because that's the ones that get destructive or they're just miserable. And
sad and miserable.
So I'm talking to Denise Herman. We are going to take a quick break for station identification. Stay tuned. We should be back in about a minute and a half.
The following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com. The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
And we are back. I am talking to Denise Herman of Empire of the Dog about all kinds of things. We're talking about high-tech toys. We're going to go on and discuss other things. But I think a really good point we were just saying during the break, which is something to keep in mind, is these toys are expensive. So, you know, they're ranging from, what did you say?
Well, even by New York City standards. Yeah, right? I was just thinking. They're expensive even by New York City standards. You know, I think at the lowest end, maybe one of these might be like $99
okay.
up to $200, $299.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot if there's a lot of potential for usage in the toy, that it's not one-dimensional. But, you know, by the time you get to these techie things where there's an app and there's Wi-Fi and there's, you know, people behind that crunching numbers mm-hmm. and having ways to still, you know, again, update your software.
Yeah.
And you've got the hardware now and they're like, well, now it does this other cool thing. Right. Or you can buy this little add-on. Like with the pet tutor, there's these different little add-ons that they keep coming up with that supplement the original, main component mm-hmm. that you would have bought. So I think that's also what's built into that price.
And I think it's something to consider. And I mean, honestly, with the amount of research involved to create this, it makes sense. You know what I mean? I wouldn't expect this thing to be $100 because it's sturdy. You know, there's a hell of a lot of research that went into this product. It's durable. It does what it says it does. You know what I mean? So like...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what we were also saying is, you know, what I'm thinking I'm going to do mm-hmm. is to do lessons at the studio for clients' dogs or dogs that might be interested in using some of these.
Cool.
Because then they can test drive it and we can get them started with it and they can see, because the people I've shown it to with their dogs are like, oh my God, it's amazing. I'm like,
totally.
I know. And you know, because not everything is, it just hit the ground running perfect right
totally.
At that time. But I love the idea of having the dogs come in and let's work with them on it and see them use it. And then, you know, a lesson or two lessons mm-hmm. or just go buy it. You know, you see it happening, you can do it, here's how you do it.
Totally, that too, because that really helps. So if anybody in the Brooklyn or New York tri-state area is interested, I mean, check out Empire the Dog and send Denise an email and you guys can go from there. But I think that's a great idea. I think a test ride is a really good idea because it's an investment, you know?
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I don't know there's anything out there like this yet, but people could probably contact their local trainer,
mm-hmm.
someone they've either worked with already or someone in your, mostly it's probably going to be people in your area doing like positive reinforcement dog yeah. training. And there's going to be a lot of trainers that are more likely to have this than, you know, your accidental neighbor kind of person.
Yeah,
and
totally.
If you call a trainer and say, I'm really interested in this machine, mm-hmm. and I was trying to find a trainer that has one, that we could do a lesson and test drive it with my dog and see how it goes. I think they'd be more than willing to do that. I mean, we deal with so many problem things. We'd be happy to do something fun.
That would be really fun. And I think it's a really nice, I mean, even though the dog can do it all on its own, honestly, just watching was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think being in the room and your attention is on the dog is better than you being in the room on your phone when your dog's next to you, you know?
It's
all about the exchange. So
it is fun to watch them get smarter, and it's still fun to watch them be goofy and try to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Especially when they're not trying to figure out how to get your sandwich off the counter while you're not looking. Which is the other thing they're trying to figure out all the time.
That's true.
So this is a much better job for them to figure out.
That's a really good point. And so now what we're going to do is something a little interesting, a little unusual. Denise is going to interview me for a couple minutes. And so you guys can find out some stuff about me and my story and the show and all that stuff. So,
well, I'm so excited to do that, Celia.
I'm nervous.
Oh, it's going to be perfect.
Okay,
so I just learned earlier today, and is some of the impetus for this, is that Celia is going on a break from the show, which did you tell them at the top of the show that you were leaving?
No, this is surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Yes, Celia is going on a break from the show, and that break's going to start after this show. This is the last one.
This is the last one of the season.
Until when? When will you be back?
I'll be coming back in May.
And that's for sure, almost for sure?
Yeah, way for sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
Good. So we will miss you in the interim.
Thank you.
But, you know, we wanted to just ask you a couple of things, since this is the longest break you'll have ever taken since you started, yeah?
Totally. I've been here for like 3 or 4 years. I'm up to 150-something episodes, and it's every Monday pretty much, you know? We have a break between seasons where it's a week or two, but I really have been here every single Monday doing these shows, which I love. I mean, please don't get me wrong, you know, but I kind of just need to step away for a little bit.
I mean, that's a really routinized commitment, and to be that many shows and every Monday with a couple weeks break.
And it's been good, you know, and it's basically the reason that I'm taking a break is so that I can bring you guys better shows, honestly. I'm tired, straight up. I mean, Animal Instinct is me. And so I don't have a room of interns. I don't have, you know, some sexy office with, you know, 25 people taking messages and writing interviews or any of that. That's me and, you know, many different.
And you do it because you love it.
I do. And it's been an honor to do this show. And I've learned a lot. And honestly, I kind of hate taking a break now, because now it's like people know about me. People know about the show.
Yeah.
You know, I have got a really great listening base, and I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I kind of feel like, you know, that rock band, like that one hit wonder that finally made it. And then they break up. And then the reality, they've been together for like 15 years and they've just finally done it. They're over it. And I don't want that to happen here. I've just been too busy. And I just feel like if I was going to continue on this next season, starting January, I don't think I would give you guys shows that are as good as they can be.
Well, you know, I was just thinking while we were talking, you know, that and I think anyone that does a creative type of job mm-hmm. will get this too, is that to be creative, to do this type of job, whether it's this, whether it's making art, whether it's, you know, you have to mine from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it is hard to keep going, well, what's the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
Who do I need to talk to? Like, what's out there? What am I going to do? You covered so many topics, so many different things.
And I've been really fortunate. I mean, I've contacted people where I'm like, there is no way in hell this person is going to talk to me. And they're the ones that are like, totally. And then I find someone who's like, oh my God, they're going to be all over this. And they're like, I don't think so. So it's hard getting guests. I mean, literally, I leave this station at 6:45 on Mondays, and at 7:15, I'm looking for more guests.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so I have another thing.
Yeah,
I know we're gonna like hit time probably soon, but
we got plenty. We're good.
But my question is, like, if you had to kind of whittle it down to the first three off the top of your head, so that people can go back to the old shows that you have and look through those, like, what three would you go? These are maybe my favorite ones, or just the ones that you remember that you go, this one, go to this one. This one was like just crazy or funny or weird.
I think the first episode, which is when I just started, and I just got super lucky. There's an organization called APOPO, and it's APOPO, and they are in Africa. It's a Belgian nonprofit, and they've trained African rats to sniff out landmines.
Oh, my God.
They cleared Mozambique. I mean, like, really? And they're going to Cambodia eventually. I'm not sure if they're there yet. But it's amazing. And it's so cool because they're using something that is a native species that's there. They're training them. They're training locals to work with these animals. So he's created this huge web of jobs and, like, helping the community and all of it. So I think
I didn't even know about that.
It's
one.
Like the coolest thing in the world. Like, I was so excited.
Are the rats pretty safe?
The rats are safe. The trick with the rats is they're not head. The reason
no, don't tell
them.
They have to listen to the show.
Okay, fine. No,
okay, what's number two?
No rats got blown up.
I'm gonna bury the lead. No,
thank
they
you,
have to go. They have to go to the first show. Okay, so what's the next show?
The next show would probably be. I would say I've done a couple shows about octopus. I'm fascinated with these animals and, like, you know, cephalopods and all this. So, like, those are just amazing in, like, what these guys can do.
And do you remember what season that was in? We can put it in the link. I know we can look it up and put it in the link at the end of the show.
I know there was one last season, and I think there was one the season before. I'm not positive on that. They kind of become a blur, I hate to admit.
No, you know what I mean? You can't keep it all in your brain. Okay, so number three.
Oh, this is a tough one. Part of me wants to say, actually, no, screw it, I'm saying it. I'm doing it.
Do it.
There's an episode about the wild parrots that live in Brooklyn.
I love the wild parrots.
I do too.
Here and they're in Pasadena and they're in San Francisco. They're all
everywhere.
Over the place. Yeah.
And I love that one because, like, it, when you first come to New York, if you live here, eventually you're going to be somewhere like in Brooklyn or in the city and you hear like this squawk and you're like, that's a parrot. It's like, what in the hell? And then you're like, it's a neighbor's parrot. Then, oh God, I guess a bird got loose. And then you see like 50 of them flying around and you're like, wait, what? You know?
Oh,
and then
God.
It's kind of like this whole legend that starts. And so that's all in the episode.
Oh.
And I loved it as a New Yorker to be able to bring this urban legend to truth and to explain why in the hell this actually happened.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm not going to ask. I want to ask more questions, but I'm not going to because I want people to have to find the show. Like, I want to know where in Brooklyn are they and all of that stuff. Okay, so what's the worst, like, snafu? Did anything glitchy ever happen? We always get here on time. We are never rushing, but I'm sure things have come down the pike where you're like, oh, poop on a spatula. What's happening?
I've had some good ones. One of my favorite, which I hate to even mention this, but it's too funny not to share. First season, I think, I did an episode on guinea pigs, and my guest was lovely, and she was adorable, and she was so into it, right? And she was all excited, guinea pigs, and she was so cute. And so we're talking about guinea pigs, everything's great, and I'm like, all right, we're just going to take some minute for station identification, and we'll be right back, we're going to continue talking about guinea pigs. And we flash to a commercial, and it's the sound of, like, grease in a frying pan. And all of a sudden, the whole guy goes, hot, sizzling pork. And, like, I freak out. I look at the engineer. He freaks out. We're both like, oh, my God. The poor guinea pig girl is, like, green in the corner. It's like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. It was like, No. And, like, went through the commercial. Unfortunately, there was, like, a little music break. And as you guys know, there's always a little bit more. But, I mean, we came back. And I was like, oh, my God, never again. So that was the lesson, or that was the episode that taught me to really, really be conscious of who my sponsor is.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a horrible snafu, and I'm mortified about it. But, you know, it's the irony was so thick, and it was so ridiculous that I was kind of like, and here we are. And then I've had guests who, we've had some interesting stuff. I mean, I've had guests saunter in late.
Oh, yeah, I know some of these. Yes. I remember hearing about some of these.
Like,
we won't name names because we are classy.
Exactly. But, like, you know, if the show starts at 6, don't stroll in at 6:15 and give me attitude because, you know, you want a pizza right now. Like, that doesn't work, you know?
No.
But fortunately, honestly, 99.9% of my guests have been exquisite and lovely and wonderful. And this job has given me the opportunity. I'm one of these people, and you've all heard me say this, okay? Animal rescues, these kind of things, I can't do it. I don't have the stomach for it. I don't have the heart for it. I'm way too much of a softy for that kind of thing. That, oh my God, that photograph of the polar bear that's starving right now.
Oh no, I saw that too. No, it's a little video, right?
And
it's
on
making the things. No, I couldn't.
I
know exactly what you're talking about, because I watched it last night and
was like, turn it off. Yeah.
And I kept thinking, maybe it's not even that's what it is. Maybe it's just an old bear that someone took a video of.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I
can't even do that. Like, I can't even do the ASPCA commercials. You know what I mean? So like,
it's ruined Sarah McLachlan for me. And almost Willie Nelson, but not quite.
No shit, right? Oh my God. So for me, this is my way of helping animals, is by being educated myself and sharing the information with you guys, with some of the leading brilliant people on this planet. I mean, it's been an honor, and, you know, we've had fun episodes and all that, and I promise you guys, I am coming back. I just need to take a little vacation in order to do the best I can for y'all. I don't want to start doing crappy episodes in order to, you know, just keep this going. I want to make them good. So if you miss me, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Stitcher, you can go to the Heritage Radio network.org website. I got a whole page.
And also, I'm gonna interject with
Please.
The fact that while Celia's on this break, make no mistake, she's gonna be researching for the things she wants to talk about when she comes back. So if you have ideas,
please,
you should send them to her. Or
Please.
If you have something you want to talk about, or something, you know, some nonprofit or some techie dog thing or some organization, or if you know somebody, throw it out there. We are very open to that.
Thank you. That's a damn good point. And so if you want to do that, you can reach me on Facebook. If you do a search on Facebook, if you don't like the page already, or haven't, I should say, the page find is Animal Instinct 73. And so if you go there, you like the page, and you have a great idea, or you have some thoughts, or you want to be a guest, and you do cool stuff, shoot me an email. I would love it. Especially if you're local. I love doing the local things. But, you know, or if you know somebody, oh my God.
Oh,
like,
that's
hook
right.
Me
it
do- up.
And it doesn't have to be local, because
nope.
you can do the interview remotely. So
yep.
don't worry if you have ideas for her from wherever they are.
Totally. I've talked to Europe, I've talked to Africa and Asia too. So if they can handle the time difference, I'm down. I mean, serious.
Definitely. Have we covered all of our topics?
I think we have. And Denise, to you, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you so much. You've been like my most often guest, and I love it. You've like watched the show evolve, and you've really helped me with all of it. And
I'm a good last minute date too. Just
totally.
Like, yeah, I should come tomorrow.
She saved me many a time. But you know, you've always been a huge welcome guest here, and you've really helped me find my voice and helped give me more confidence on the mic. And all that. So thank you.
Oh, it's always been fun. I feel like we went to this morning earlier. I feel like we were those radio ladies on Saturday Night Live.
Totally.
Did you have that flashback?
I know. I think we're getting better now. it's we have to use like this voice then, you know, or something like that. Like the bored, sophisticated voice.
The radio voice.
Exactly. But so you guys, I'm not going to be back next week is basically what the story is here. I will see you in May. You can find me on Twitter at Food Healer. You can find me on Instagram at Animal Instinct Radio. If you want to see my personal life, it's under BKLYN Celia. Facebook Animal Instinct, Facebook The Food Healer. I'm all over the place, so you can find me there. Thank you guys sincerely. Thank you for listening. I am going to be back. I'm going to be stronger and faster and better, and we'll bring you more shows. Until then, knock yourself out of those reruns, please. Tell people about my show. And I will talk to you in May. So happy holidays and all that good stuff. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
everybody. I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.